WMFO Medford, all right. This is Galactic Fractures. My name's PJ. It is now straight up 12:30. Got some special guests in the house right now. Why don't you introduce yourselves over there one at a time. Tell my listeners who we got up in here. We've got some very special guests from the original Black Sheep, local Medford band from back in the day.
What up? This is Chip Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Black Sheep of the family himself, Billy Sparrow. And this is my partner right here from beginning to end.
Yeah, man. All right. So we just wanted to kind of get things started off right here. We got plenty of music to be playing for the show today. They brought in a bunch of their old stuff that hasn't been released or that I know I've never heard and my friends haven't heard. So we're going to be getting into that. But we were talking just a minute ago about sort of the history of things, and you guys were kind of talking about in 72 when you graduated
from high school.
Right. Here, pull the mic closer to you guys, and let's hear that story. Let's just go right in.
Yeah,
there.
Basically, I got with a group that the drummer was in high school with me, and we graduated around 1972, which goes back quite a ways.
Right.
And the group was called Blood Earth and Man, and we needed a guitar player. And this girl I knew that was also in high school with me says, well, I know this guy in West Medford named Sparrow. He'd be great with you because both of you guys are crazy acting on stage. And I was like, really, you know? So I said, bring him down. Let me introduce, you know? And the first night we played together, we clicked like crazy. We were jumping on tables, man. He was playing the guitar on the table. I was playing my keyboard on the table with, you know, I had a remote keyboard and, oh, crazy, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
So we've been partners ever since back then, man.
Yeah. So that was a Blood Earth and Man. You said that you sent some pictures. You gave me some pictures.
Yeah, I got some pictures on a CD for you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, man. I'll be putting those on the web for sure. You know,
cool.
Put a few of them on there for the radio show, yeah. And let my listeners check that out. So, Blood Earth and Man was the first band. How did that sort? First of all, did you guys record anything with the?
With Blood Earth and Man. Well, yes, we did actually.
Yeah, we had a song we called "Be Yourself or Be By Yourself," which me and Chip together. What would happen is when we were rehearsing songs for a show or something, in between we take our time out and do little jams or whatever. So we'd figure out little rhythms and stuff.
Right.
He was like Sly and I was like Hendrix. And they had a straight.
Which is no lies.
They had
no
a
doubt.
Nice man.
They had a straight R&B like band with three singers and with gospel influence, and they were playing top 40 songs of the day. But when we got in the band, we had like wah-wahs and fuzzes and stuff. This is before people even played like that, the regular thing.
I had my Echoplex on the keyboard.
Right, he had Echoplex on the keyboard. He was doing things with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to basically make synthesizers. Well, I think that they really created synthesizers because of Hendrix, because they couldn't, you know, recreate what he did.
Right.
But what ended up happening is when we started using the basic raw, you know, things, the synthesizers and the sounds, then they had to really upgrade that sound, because it was in every song we did. And we were doing regular straight songs, Diana Ross songs, and we was like funking it up, you know.
You guys got live recordings of that kind of
thing? Yeah, I brought songs are back in the day.
They were trying to out us, man.
But what happened was a guy that knew me personally for the neighborhood ended up working. He used to work in a meat plant, but then he ended up being an A&R person
For Big Label? Mercury Records, all right.
And he seen us playing one time. He said, Billy, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to get you a contract and everything. And we went to our manager, and our manager, they thought that they had it all going on, and they eschewed it.
Yeah,
so that was like the number one thing that and him were like, whoa, wait a minute now. We're trying to get something happening.
Yeah.
And management's telling us not to listen to this guy that's offering us a recording contract.
Right.
That was like the beginnings of the Black Sheep of the family.
So we loaded up
our
truck.
We moved to San Francisco, actually.
Yeah, that's what Chip said on the phone the other day. Yeah, yeah.
We lived in a hotel room, right? We split the
thing
up.
Hotel,
and there was a guy, crazy guy who lived next to us, a Marine or something that was wigged out. And he hated us because early in the morning, we'd be practicing. He had his synthesizer, had his guitar. Chip started messing with the guy, making weird sounds and shit, right? middle of the night. So this, we woke up one morning, there was a big pile of crap in the,
oh, yeah,
in the doorway.
Dude took a dump and found my girl.
We was all like, who the, but we couldn't mess with him because he was
right.
crazy, you
he
know.
He was a crazy. He probably wouldn't. He wanted to get be a Marine. He always dressed up like a Marine every day, but he
yeah.
wasn't in the
He
service.
Wasn't even in there, though.
No, oh, man. He was not.
Oh. We didn't want to mess with him too much. We figured he'd try to kill us, you know what I mean? And we used to live right smack dab in Chinatown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
Taylor right. Smack dab.
Taylor Street. Yeah.
Street.
Yeah, man.
Man.
I had a, he had his little Stratocaster with his pig nose.
Yeah, a little pig
amplified.
Nose, man.
Yeah.
And I had,
he
my,
had a pig nose,
I had
too.
A pig nose with my Horner clavinet, man, because it's a battery-operated keyboard.
Yeah, so, yeah. You just bring it out in the park and jam, man, right?
Man. You know?
Nice.
Open it up for Wow Wow effect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So were you guys in, did you guys start the original Black Sheep out in San Fran, or did you bring it back here and then start the original
Brought the idea up in San Francisco. We
yeah.
decided we should do this, man.
Yeah.
And we can't, because we couldn't get anything. Man, we were struggling out in Frisco, man.
Yeah.
We couldn't get nothing happening.
We
man.
Had the greatest endorsement deal, though. We had a guy that worked for Wurlitzer Piano. He loved us. He said, whenever you get something going, I'll endorse you. Get endorsements from me. Money, you won't have to worry about not equipment or nothing.
Yeah.
But
who we were trying to hook up with the producer for all the people out in San Francisco. I forget his name now. I mean, we were trying to talk to him with the Pointer Sisters,
Taj
Santana,
Mahal and all,
the
cats, yeah.
all of them. He was like the big time producer out there for them.
And the crazy thing is, later on, I end up working with the Pointer Sisters. I'm like, we're best friends now, man.
Yeah.
Nuts. This is how life is. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you never
know,
man.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
All right.
But, we brought up the concept in San Francisco, and we couldn't get anything happen. Man, I was staying in, man, remember that? Man, staying in phone booths at night, man. They ran out of money.
Man.
And the police, come get up. I'm on the phone, man. I'm on the phone. Yeah. He hooked up with some chick somewhere. It's like, come on, Chip, I got a room for us tonight, man. Yeah, we were struggling, man.
Well, what ended up happening was I met this girl when we were still with Blood, Earth, and Man,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her in Worcester at a thing in Worcester. She moved to L.A. and started, contacting me and writing me and stuff.
Yeah.
So we just said, fuck it. We're going to L.A.
Well, watch that. We got to watch that. We are on there. It's all right. It's all right. But just, you know.
We said, fuck that. We're going to L.A. So we went. That was the beginning of everything.
Yeah,
going to L.A.,
that
was it. Because once you get to L.A., you find out it's either truth or dare. Either
you
get with it or you got to get the heck on out.
Right, right, right.
So when we left there.
Yeah, we had to end up getting the heck on out because what? Couldn't get in the mix, man. Couldn't get in the loop. You know what I mean? It was like, it was very cliquish.
Oh, it still is, right?
So we ended up coming back to Boston and starting this thing, man.
We were already too controversial anyways because it was like a strictly R&B era. Actually, we used to go head-to-head with the Johnson Brothers. Who Maurice Starr was in that, and they used to hate us because we every time we went someplace they'd have to come after, and then when they went someplace we came after. We
was
like
battle of the
bands.
We used to battle of the bands,
and we did one gig one time where actually we were on the top floor, we were on the bottom floor, so we thought we were slick. We said, well, we're gonna be on the bottom. No, we're gonna be on the
top floor,
so we're gonna be the one. So when we start playing, they'll all come up the stairs. Downstairs, right? Well, what ended up happening is the people went downstairs and never wanted to come up because they didn't want to go up the stairs.
Besides that,
they kept on playing while we were supposed to be playing.
They were kind of hot, man. Them cats were kind of hot.
Yeah, but they still couldn't get with us. We still had the.
And
you're talking
pre New Edition days.
Yeah,
pre New Kids.
They were still together.
This is when they first came here from D-Land, Florida. As they were all brothers, they came up here in a van.
And
there was a group, and they were hot, man. I gotta give it to them, man.
Yeah, man, I've heard that.
But they always respected us too.
Nice.
But
they
not
hated
the
everybody
other
else in the band.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the band and hated all the other bands, but they always respected us.
It's like rivals.
You know,
man.
They always dug us. They said,
"You
cats are all right. The rest of these guys ain't nothing." You know what I mean? It's
cool.
All good.
All right. Well, so that kind of brings us up to this first track, then. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna play this first track. This is the single, the big single, that the original Black Sheep, In the Forest.
And it's about the world. It's about the world as it was in that day.
In that era.
Looking through it as the eyes of a kid listening to a nursery rhyme.
All right. So with that, here is the original Black Sheep doing In the Forest. And I believe this is actually part one and two. So for all the lucky people with the 45 out there, you don't have this second part on there. So check this out. This is In the Forest, WMFO Medford. Yes.
Please prevent forest fires.
WMFO, all right, we're back here. We're back here with the original Black Sheep, Billy Sparrow and Chip Allen. All right. So that last one was In the Forest, parts one and two, kind of a stripped-down version, I guess, but really nice. Love that record. Actually, that record came to my attention. A friend of mine actually found it, and then it kind of grew in sort of infamy because no one could find this record, and yet it was like a local Boston thing. So we were all looking for it. I ended up tracking down one copy, and like one or two other people found copies. But, you know, then I started looking for these gentlemen over here,
man,
who are here in the studio.
I got
and
the phone call. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I tracked down. So actually, I had Forrest on the radio show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then he was mentioning you guys, and I got your name, Chip,
right.
Chip's name. Tracked him down just looking up on the internet and phone directories till I found the right guy.
Yeah.
And then through him, I finally found Mr. Billy Sparrow, who I've been looking for a long time, because you actually produced the Forest Terry record as well, or co-produced, right?
Well, basically, he was the executive producer, and I was the, you know, producer of
Right. Okay.
Which means I got the people together, you know what I mean? We formulated the sound. He gave me the ideas he wanted to do.
Right, right.
And we went in there and cut the record.
Right. So, but that last one I just played there, that one was In the Forest, which was the first one. So that's how it came to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what's the story behind this record now? Let's hear this.
I'm gonna be all straight out with you.
Yeah.
In the Forest started out, we were having rehearsal. And at the time, man, there was a record out that it just came. I was the Sly Stone of Boston.
Right.
He was the Jimi Hendrix, all right? Big Sly Stone, Family Stone fans. Larry Graham, the whole nine. Now, Larry Graham had broke off from Sly Stone.
Right,
during
right.
that time. And, you know, he had a tune out called Hair.
Yeah, that was
that's me. What's
the name of his band?
Grand Central Station.
Actually, right, when we were in San Francisco, we were there during that era.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know
okay.
what I mean? I mean, yeah. Like, I met Larry and stuff, went to his shows and things. So we were, like, into him now because there was no
yeah.
Sly.
Right, right,
we
right.
was
Sly
into Grant. So even to the point where we were covering their brand-new record, because what we would do is we covered people's records when we did gigs. And as soon as we covered their records would blow up because the people would think that we were them because
right.
we had the sound. Because
we were crazy, man.
Off.
When you see our clothes, right. you'd be like, oh, yeah, that might
be. It was only,
that.
Like, a four-piece band. And
right,
he was
right,
like
right.
doing the horn parts, and I was playing the horn parts, and I played the keyboard
crazy,
chords, and he would be doing the lead stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We knew how to do that kind of stuff. So when Grand Central Station came out, that was like big with us. When we were doing regular Top 40 style.
But to get back to it, all right. So we were having rehearsal, man. Our bass player was very into Sly Stone too.
Right? Larry Who was
Grant.
That? Who was that?
Forest Terry.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
Forest
yeah. Play the bass.
And
yeah.
so, man, we started. We said, man, we got to learn this tune. Let's play this tune. And man, he was playing it all backwards, man. And we were like, man, that ain't the way it goes, man. And then we were laughing. Me and Spell were cracking up, man, because Forest was serious, man. He was like.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But Forrest would play everything slow.
Right,
when he played
right,
the
right,
bass,
right,
we were
right,
like,
right.
man, that come on!
Pick
but
it up, pick it
but
up.
Basically,
it up.
That's
Fast.
What gave us our because it
our
gave
sound.
Us more time to put the
to
extra
put other
stuff
in. The middle.
Right, right, right,
so
right.
So worked
right.
after a while, it gelled together. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, Forrest started playing this tune, and we were giggling at first, and then Spell said, "Chip, man, play a groove to this, man." So I stopped playing the clavinet. You know, and next thing he jumps in, and we start jamming, man. And before you know it, after about 15, 20 minutes, we had us a song, man.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? He went and took, he said, man, I got it, man. We're going to call this In the Forest, because we were laughing at Forest.
Right,
know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
But what I said, I went to Forest, and I said, look, to everybody, actually, I said, look, we got to write some words to the song. So let's get together. Everyone write the little words and we'll put it together and stuff. Now, this went on for like two or three more rehearsals or whatever. And no one came up with any words.
Right, right.
So.
Just the word man right here. All right. I ain't going to lie to you, man. He was always the word man. All
yeah.
right. I was the funk master to put the gel together.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the man with the lyrics and the rhyme and the ideas and the crazy hooks, man. I'm gonna give it to you right still to this day. All right.
Yeah, this Pepe Billy the Spowell, Pew, right?
Baby. Billy Spowell, man. I don't know how he used to come up with this stuff, but he did. He's the man for that.
But actually, the words to the song is dealing with the world. You know, and putting in, like, if you were looking at it as a little kid and listening to nursery rhymes. So basically, the part where it says about the little, you know.
Little Bo Peep.
Little Bo Peep lost her sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the lady's kids are gone.
Right, right, right.
You know, where the hell did they go? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like missing children issues.
Right, right, right.
The issues are with the stealing the picnic baskets. It's like people going out and ganking people. You know what I mean? Pepe Le Pew playing the funk. People weren't really into it, so they're holding their noses, being bougie towards that.
Right, right.
And then I think Mother Goose, you know, was butching it up with Juicy Lucy, dealing with, you know. Yeah, and this is back in like 74.
Yeah, back in the day,
man.
74. We recorded in 75.
Right.
Yeah.
We recorded in 74 and probably released it, you know, in like 75. Or so.
I got the pitch right on the pictures, man. We was in Intermediate Studio in Boston recording this thing, man.
Right.
Got the pictures of us right in the studio.
Oh, did you bring the picture book on there?
Right nice, man.
That's
nice.
Good. You can have us.
Big afro like this, man.
Oh, man. So here's my next question about this record in particular. So I've heard a story, and I don't know if this is true, but one of my friends that tracked down this record claims that there's another version of this record actually pressed on vinyl that is like a slightly different, has like a different open or something, like an open
Please Prevent Forest Fires.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Please Prevent. That's like counting the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's on this version, this record right here, right? Yeah. But there's apparently there's like another one.
After the group broke up.
Yeah. Oh, after later.
He went out and we did it again, right?
No, actually, what I did, the song was never finished and released. I like kind of produced that song and got us in the studio, paid for the sessions, got all these guys to do all this stuff. Me and Chip did it together. It was his song was supposed to be on the other side. And he had a nice R&B slow song. We had two friends of ours that were in a very popular band that just ended up having a record coming out with the slow song. I can't forget what the name. What was the name of Kevin's band? Kevin Parham.
Kevin Parham, Rhythm and Suzanne.
Well, before Rhythm and Suzanne.
It was Rhythm. Rhythm and Suzanne.
Okay, Rhythm. Yeah. Okay.
Kevin Pam, I just saw him not too long
and
ago.
And they had a hit song, a nice slow song. Also.
Go and Find Yourself Somebody to Love.
Right. We recruited him and basically a drummer that we knew from way back in the day. God bless him. He's not here with us anymore. He was a serviceman and something happened to him way back then. We went in and did Chip songs. Produced, you know, with them
all right,
people.
All
so
right.
That was independent of the Black Sheep. Because at this point, Black Sheep was like either here or there. We were like in transition at that
right,
point.
Okay. So that's kind of where that grew out of then.
Right.
Okay, cool. So then, the flip side that's actually on the record, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about that a little bit right now because.
The ballad?
Yeah, the ballad side. And the amazing thing, and everyone that's heard this record that I talked to.
Says it
just
sounds
amazing.
Like Prince. The beginning sounds like Prince.
It just sounds
Purple
different.
Purple Rain. I gave Prince this record.
Yeah.
I swear, because I was promoting his very first album for the, you know, Kiss One Away.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get them to promote In the Forest. So I had to go and get somebody. Actually, Kiss 108 wasn't even a music station. It was a talk station first.
Yeah.
So I went there and had an interview with a person just like today. And they introduced the song and gave me an interview about the music and stuff. Then it turned to Kiss 108. And I went there and talked to Arnie Ginsberg, which was in charge of it back then.
Yeah.
I said, Arnie, I need you to play this on the station a couple of times because that's the only way I can get ASCAP to, you know, recognize this so we can start, if we release it and it gets sold, we can get paid for it.
Right, right.
So actually, that's what ended up happening. So they got me to start promoting, Sonny Joe White and them got me to start promoting songs that, you Casino Records and new people that broke out.
Right.
So Prince had just broken out with his new album. And I was going around, you know, handing out, you know, the 12-inch single and stuff. So eventually when he came to the Paradise. I met him.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Prince, how you doing? He was very cool and everything. I said, I gave him a copy of the record and stuff. Fucking, excuse my language. About 8 months or a year or so later, I hear Purple Rain coming out. I say, hold on, the very beginning of, what's the name?
Love Long?
Oh, Love Song So Long.
Love Song So Long. Okay, yeah. Yeah,
why don't you play that?
I'm going to play
this
right
now. And then
we'll
get back to the story.
All right. All right, cool.
Listen to the very beginning.
All right, here we go.
Double bass, the orchestration, everything.
All right, we're back now. So that one was the flip side to In the Forest, called Love Song So Long, right
the
there.
The second
right?
flip side.
Actually, the flip side to In the Forest was supposed to be Chip's song.
Here it was, Here and There.
Here and There.
Exactly.
And what happened was we never really finished the recording, the studio date and everything. So when I put this out, I took the name The Black Sheep of the Family, and Chip moved on with his band Skyline.
It was the Midnight Stars
at first, and then it turned to Skyline. And I continued with The Black Sheep of the Family, and basically I had like a different lineup.
Right. Okay.
The same like type thing, but a different lineup, and we like really went crazy. We were doing like R&B songs, punk rock style.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
punk rock even came out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Did you got recordings of that stuff too?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. Are they on that CD you brought me?
Well, I'll have to find. I told you I'd see you after the beginning of the month, and
absolutely.
I'll find mostly of some more things.
Cool, man. Yeah. All right. So, what's the story with this? We were talking a little bit while the song was playing about how you guys, you know, how you performed and everything. So what I was talking about, just so my listeners know, was that the differences between the In the Forest side and the Love Song side was just much more psychedelic and more rock oriented. And Sparrow, you were saying that was what you were into, the rock sort of thing.
I'll step in there.
Yeah, yeah, right? Go for it, man.
That's his thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You dig it? Okay. Now, this is where we had to make that blend back in the day also, because I was more funk, you know what I'm saying, R&B funk, and he was like rock, man, back in the day. Seriously, the Jimi Hendrix man playing behind guitar, behind the neck, you know, the teeth, the whole nine yards, you know. And this is, if you would have had to see us, man, live, because, man, when I met this cat, it was like I met my partner in crime, man, because I was a nut on the keyboards, because nobody was doing what I was doing on the keyboards back then, man. I was using wah-wah pedals and effects and echoplexes and magic tricks and the whole nine yards and jumping around. And then here he comes doing the same thing on a guitar. So we were like the Siamese twins of craziness back in the day, man.
Nice.
And,
nice.
You know what I mean? And when we didn't fit in the groups that we were in, because they were trying to hold us back, man. They're like, you're all too wild, man. You got to calm down. So that's how this group came apart.
Nice.
He is the psychedelic cat, man. From even back in the day, we used to rehearse all the time in West Memphis and drive his grandmother crazy, man. I can still hear her, man. Billy, turn that stuff down, that crazy music.
Oh, well, she loved him, though.
Yeah,
he
man,
could do no wrong. See, I'm the one.
See, it was good cop, bad cop thing, man.
Oh, wow. That's great, man. That's great. Well, here, I want to play one of Chip's song then, because he brought in a CD.
Which one you want to hear?
Okay, so this is, I guess, the older CD. It said, like, the Skyline Days
on
it,
yeah,
right?
That's the group right after Black Sheep and Family.
Okay, so do you have a song on here that you want people
you
to hear?
Run, you could play anywhere. You could play number two, Joy.
Play number two, Joy. All right.
Yeah, that's
so this is the band right after the original
Black Sheep.
Yeah,
this is a song I wrote right after Black Sheep.
All right, cool. So this is Joy right here on WMFO Medford.
Yeah.
WMFO. All right. We're back. That was Mr. Chip Allen's song, Joy, right? With the group Skyline, I believe.
You got it. You got it.
All right. Cool. Cool. So, yeah, that kind of shows the differences between.
And that was back in, that was back in 77, 78.
Yeah, yeah,
something
right.
Something like that, yeah.
Cool, cool,
yeah.
Man. All right. Did that, how widely released was Skyline? Was it like a local Boston thing?
No, man, we started out as a Boston group because, like I said, I put together right after Black Sheep and Family had kind of disbanded.
Yeah.
And I rehearsed the band for about a year before we would even go out and play. We ended up starting out playing it in Cambridge, actually, at the Western Front, man. Marvin Gilman's Western Front, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Playing every weekend for the door. We were happy to make $25 for the whole weekend, man.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Back in the day, you know, a lot of good people used to play there. Webster Lewis used to be playing there,
right,
playing
right.
jazz organ the whole night. So we come in. Marvin was the only guy that would give me a break because I was so young looking. And all the rest of the club was like, man, you can't get in here. You're too young or whatever. And you know, Marvin said, man, I'm going to let y'all play every weekend and build yourself
right,
up.
Right,
so that's
right,
what we
right,
did.
Right.
And then we ended up going to places like the Rise Club in Cambridge, used to be in Cambridge upstairs, and
right.
Jack's used to be in Cambridge. That's gone now. But, you know, we started playing around the local area. Then we started going out, venturing out into New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont. Then we ended up going to Canada, living in Canada for 8 years, man.
Nice.
And in Europe, the whole nine yards, London, England, the whole nine yards, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Sweden, the whole nine. So
cool, cool.
The group was a touring band, but we started out here in Boston.
Cool, cool, yeah. Right on. All right. So, yeah, so coming back, so that's sort of like the Chip Allen sound there that we just heard. So now I'm going to get into a track that's on Billy Sparrow's CD he brought in today.
Yeah.
This one, what's the name of this song again?
TV Love Affair.
TV Love Affair.
The name of the song is TV Love Affair.
Right on, okay.
It's like a 70s Hendrix song. Since Hendrix wasn't, you know, here, I figured that I'd have to keep going on, since I loved him so much, that I basically took the time and the era and wrote a song, and it's called TV Love Affair.
Right, right. Okay, what year was this roughly, you know?
This was about 77.
77? All right, cool, cool. Okay, well, we're going to get into this right now. Was this just you, or did you have a band? Was this still
the
original Black Sheep?
This was the new Black Sheep of the
right,
family.
Right, right, okay.
It wasn't the original.
Right, I got
what
you.
What it was I went back, and I regrouped and got people, well, basically people in my family. My brother, actually, was
Craig,
the singer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who sounds just like Chip. It's like really, their voices are like, and he used to idolize Chip, so maybe that's how it came about. But he ended up being the lead singer, so I could take more of an active role in playing the music, and it was more of a show at that point. It was like being like Van Halen type of a band at that point.
Did you guys play around as
yes,
the
we
new
were playing,
Black
Sheep? Actually did gigs. We did gigs up here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We did a gig at the Horticultural Hall across from Symphony. I mean, we did big, big, crazy gigs that no one would expect us to be there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you'd see this band called the Black Sheep of the Family, with, like Chip said. But this time, we were, like, more crazy with the outfits and things.
Right.
Me and Chip actually used to...
Yeah, man, but they were copying then.
Me and Chip actually played with the Parliament Funkadelic
and
George Clinton.
Sure enough.
Yeah,
sure
yes.
Enough.
I met Bootsy and them a long time ago when I was like a teenager first starting to play guitar. So I'd go up on the stage, you know, during, you know, warm-ups or whatever, sound checks. And I was always playing Hendrix, Purple Haze.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bootsy personally named me Purple Haze. So whenever he sees me, he's, hey, Purple Haze, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. But me and Chip finally got to play with them on stage at, what was that basement place there?
Yeah, it's Paul's Mall Jazz
Paul's
Workshop.
Paul's Mall.
And I was going to Berkeley at the time, man. I went to Berkeley for like a year back then. And
right
I
on,
dropped,
okay.
Before I dropped out. And
but what happened was he came up on stage and brought his synthesizer.
Yeah, man.
Bernie had a synthesizer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no. What happened, man, that night was...
Oh, his buster broke down or something?
They had the truck had flipped over on the highway coming to the gig.
Oh, all right,
so we didn't have one that day.
Hanging out. I used to go everywhere with this little keyboard on my strap-on keyboard I used to put around my neck back then, like Edgar Winter back in the day. Used to go everywhere with it. So I happened to be in the club with it, and they came in, and we were meeting them, talking to them, and then he said, man... Yeah, our truck flipped over, man. We had to rent some gear. All I got here is this Hammond organ, man. I said, well, I got my synth with me. Want to use it? He said, yeah, what you got? I said, I use it. You let me play with you. He's like, do you know my songs? I said, every last one of them. So, man, we got up there, and we started talking. And he told him his life story. I didn't even know he went to New England Conservatory. He played some classical organ for me, Bernie Worrell. God, man, this cat's unbelievable, man.
What ended up happening is we go on stage. He's playing the synthesizer because Bernie didn't want to touch it because he wasn't, familiar with it.
Right, right.
So Bernie's playing his regular stuff. Chip's playing the synthesizer stuff. They already had two guitar players, so here I am up there playing. I'm the third guitar player.
What's the guy in the diaper?
Yeah, the diaper man.
What was his name, man? I forget his name right now.
This is before Mike Hampton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was the third guitarist.
They had Eddie Hazel, too, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yep, yep, yeah. Yep.
So I was like the third guitarist. Then they started using synthesizers in their music. Right? So we turned the Parliament Funkadelic out. George will never admit to that.
Man, we got there.
Bootsy will tell.
Cosmic slop and kill him, man. Boom,
bang. We played the whole set. George was so mad because he didn't say yeah. We did that again another time with Miles Davis, but Miles Davis told us no. The band was going to let us play, but Miles Davis said no. So George isn't really that bad.
George is cool. He's backstage. Yeah, man, it's all good, man. He's cool.
Even to this day, man. I can go, and talk to them anytime.
Yeah, that's
cool,
like
to produce an album for them one day. But let's get the TV.
All right. So here it is. This is television. Say it again, the name of the song.
The name of the song is TV Love Affair, and this is the new Black Sheep of the Family, circa right after the original Black Sheep of the Family.
Like 77?
About 77, 78.
All right, cool. Here we go. Black Sheep of the Family, after the original Black Sheep of the Family. So that one was TV Love Affair. That's nice, man. I really dig that sound, man. That's like, I'm amazed that that's 77.
You know what, man? What's funny is that dude, man, we were doing that kind of stuff. And we even just, that's the new Black Sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we were together as the Black Sheep, we would be down in his basement doing that kind of stuff, man,
yeah.
Jamming. And the cats that are playing on this record used to be the guys standing there watching us, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They were the younger cats standing around watching us, man.
Yeah,
you
that's
know, like,
great.
Wow, yeah, you know. But it's he kept the groove going
yeah, yeah.
in the same flavor later on. You know what I'm saying? Which yeah. is a cool thing, man. As the years went on, he stayed true to where he the sound that he loves, the
right.
rock sound, man.
Right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right, so
it made it my own sound. The sound that you hear today, basically, it was created in the basement,
you know,
in West Memphis, which we call the Ville.
Yeah, man, the Ville. And you know what, man? Back in the day, everybody around there played instruments, so they'd all be coming to watch us, man, or wanting to sit in or what have you. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a big town for that. We used to rehearse at the
community center.
Community center, man, stuff like that, you know what I mean? It was just a party all the time. We jamming crazy, man.
Nice, nice. So did you guys, I can't remember if you told me, like, recordings of the original Black Sheep days then. Like, what is there? Like, do you guys have seat, like, anything?
The cover
basement
songs
tapes.
Of live shows
basement
and things
tapes.
Like that. Basement tapes of rehearsals. I have a CD here that, you know, you could probably pick out one and you can hear us.
The
right
group,
in the
group
heat of the
was
battle.
Starting, the group was starting to do well back then, starting to get noticed. We ended up moving to Cape Cod for the summer.
Manamit.
Okay?
Yeah.
Into the mansion.
Manamit Mansion still
where
stands
today. We rehearsed to every day.
Yeah.
But no shows were coming, man, and the morale just kind of
went down. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This was in the original Black
this
Sheep days.
This was the original
days.
Black
yeah,
Sheep,
yeah.
man.
Right, okay. So just to be clear, the music that you brought us up here today, Sparrow, what of this CD then is the new versus the original Black Sheep then? Are most of these tracks have the new lineup?
Most of these tracks on the CD, which I released with In the Forest on the CD.
Right, right, okay.
Are the continuum of the Black Sheep of the Family, which went from Black Sheep of the Family to the Bad Reputations to the Hostage. The Hostage was we went punk rock for a while when punk rock first came out
in the 80s, like
right.
mid-80s, right around there.
And we were the Hostage, so went from Black Sheep of the Family to Bad Reputation, which was like an R&B vocal with the crazy music that we should do play behind it. Like,
right.
we do, like, I'm Just a Love Machine. But we would play I'm Just a Love Machine like Yes's song, Roundabout.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that's how we just try to switch everything up and keep it that crazy, you know, rock, you know, and roll sound with me
nice.
Playing the crazy guitar solos and stuff like
cool,
that.
Cool, man. Cool, yeah,
so
man.
Basically that CD is made up of all that kind of stuff. But there is a Chip's single is on that CD, Here and There. That's the song that we were going to put on the backside of In the Forest, which we never finished, but I have the stripped-down version
of
him
the 45 that I have has it on the other side.
It does? Your 45? Because yeah. you have the test pressing then, basically.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, okay.
See,
okay.
I don't remember, man. I'm getting so old, man. I don't remember.
He has the test pressing.
Right, that never then came out.
Right.
How many of those did you guys, how many those, test pressings?
They don't give you many.
No,
yeah, just like
many.
Two or three?
Yeah.
Not
too many.
All right, yeah, all right. Yeah. So that one's the one then, huh?
Yeah.
With the original B-side.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so... All right, well, why don't we play another track on here then, and we'll see. You said this this CD does have that
yes,
flip side on there?
Yes,
all right.
Song.
Okay, so we'll find that song on there as well, but I'm just going to play track one here. I believe this is the one you were telling me that something about Bob Marley for
yes,
this song?
Yes, I met Bob Marley at a concert in, what's that, Tanglewood, and he played all day. So it was like plenty of opportunity to talk to the people as they were walking around. I ended up talking to them. I said, you know what? I hear you make songs and they're about Jamaica and life in Jamaica. So I made a American reggae song and I was going to propose it to him. He said, yeah, when the next time I come to town, give it to me. Which I ended up missing him the next time he came to town. And unfortunately, not too long after that, he passed away. So I wrote this song specifically for Bob Marley. It's called Hanging with the Gang, and it deals with American issues and what happens in a reggae style.
All right, cool. Here we go.
Listen, I know what you're. Now I sit this day getting loose. Tomorrow my neck will be in the news. I can still remember the night, but I made a run for it. People walked off the line. Oh, but now I'm hanging with a gang. I'm hanging, hanging with a gang. The scene. I was taking my life all for the machine. Oh, a horse thief I am not. What more can I say? Now that I'm gone, I'll let the pain was hanging with the gang. I hanging, hanging, hanging with the gang.
Back now, okay. That one was another. That one was actually the original Black Sheep, the new original Black Sheep of the
yes,
family.
Yes, that was the next version of the Black Sheep.
Right, we
when
talked
Chip
about
went
that.
His way, and I kept the. Actually, we kind of had a little fight over keeping the name.
Right.
We
had, which was supposed to happen.
Yeah, at that point, you know what I mean? It was like he still didn't want to detach himself from the vehicle. But he had a better ride. He had a better ride going. Let's put it like that.
Yeah,
he jumped
cool.
off in the Mercedes and I and I hopped in a little Vega or something and drove off. You know what I mean?
No, it's all good.
Back
it's
in the day,
good,
right?
Man.
You know. But that one was the Bob Marley thing.
Yes, exactly. That was Hanging with the Gang, which I wrote actually for Bob Marley. Most of my songs I usually write for other people. And if I don't get to them or they don't want to really do it, then I end up saying, okay, I'm going to put out myself and sound just like you.
Right.
Now, that's
one cool thing about Spal, man, is he always stayed true to the one form that he loved, okay? Whereas me, I branch off with the errors. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
If you
right.
listen to my stuff, man, it's like you can kind of tell about what year it came from when you listen to it. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right.
Listen to his stuff, it's kind of more like timeless because you know what I mean?
It's like a different style, but it always stays true to the roots.
True to the root.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
Whereas, you know, it's all good, man.
Yeah. So you were saying actually a little bit while we were listening to that track about how you actually got in, Sparrow, you got into rap a little bit. You actually had out a rap single.
Correct.
Right? And kind of, you know, put that out, so then when rap kind of got big, you were kind of sort of in it a little bit.
Oh, I got
yeah, right?
a couple of them too now.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that, yeah, that's what I was getting to, track, was bro. That, you know. So like you both are kind of you know, progress to all other genres and everything.
Well,
too,
basically,
right?
What happened is when In the Forest came out, it was basically almost like a rap, but it wasn't a rap.
Right.
So then when the era came when they came out with the song The Message.
Right.
Don't push me because I'm close,
yeah,
to,
close
the edge.
To the edge. Yeah.
We had been working on and put out a song called Is It Live or Is It Your Pants?
Right.
And it's about, yeah, you look so good in them jeans and shit, but what's that stuff going to look like when you peel them off? Yeah. And so the song, you know, goes to telling the story about trying to find out what's going on. And eventually, in the end, it tells you the story about, you know, preventive measures of not getting the heebie-jeebies and stuff. You got to kind of put it in there. So what I'll do is when I do get, you know, to my things, I'm going to bring that back to you.
Cool.
So in future shows, you can put that on and see what's going on.
All right, man. Yeah, that's cool. Cool. Okay. So now I just wanted to, we're going to play a few more tracks in a bit, but I wanted to talk about sort of the future and what you guys are doing actually today. I know, Chip, you have several things going on. You just did a show last week.
Well, I have a 9-piece band these days, man. It's called the Manhattan Touch. And, you know, basically what we do is we do high-powered functions, corporate parties, weddings. We play every now and then we play Ryles or somewhere like that just to funk it up a little bit, show people I still got it.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
We were just there a couple of weeks ago. My band was just there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have a recording studio. I've had that for probably about 9-10 years. I do production work. Produce younger groups now, all different styles, man. You name it: rock, funk, R&B, gospel, country and western. Man, I'm doing it all, man.
Yeah, that's
how
I found you, right?
Through your recording studio. Actually, you found me through the recording studio I work at down the Cape. But I have my own.
Oh, you have your own? Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Right on. That's
so cool. I got stuff that I produce. I gave you some tracks of some different acts.
Cool.
I got another group that I produce. One of the girls from Medford. Give you a flavor later on if you want to check it out of stuff that I'm doing now and all
like
that. You know?
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, cool, man. Yeah, so, you know, I think we want to get back to another track here. Why don't we play one of Chip's songs here? Do you
number is the thing for you there?
Thing for you is on number 4. You want me to play
that track out then?
Yeah. All right, cool. So this is Chip Allen. This is Skyline again,
Yeah,
right?
That's Skyline.
All
that's actually me. I'm playing all the instruments except for the electric guitar solo. Everything else is by me.
All right, cool.
He can play the guitar, though.
Yeah?
He would always try to get up there and play the guitar and put me on the keyboards. Eventually, I had to learn how to play because
This is when I first learned about sequencing. Okay?
Yeah.
So I got my first keyboard with a sequencer in it, man, and I programmed all the drums and I played the bass line and chords and I just freaked out and I brought the keyboard to the studio after I wrote it all and plugged it up and, you know, dumped it down and I did the vocals and, we did the vocals together and I had a guy that was playing with me at the time play guitar solo and that was it. So
cool.
This is Thing for You. I got a rap on there for it too, man.
All right, cool. Right on. Here we go.
Make sure I was still awake. Because I could think about
Right, we're back. That was Chip Allen's with his band Skyline.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's nice. Okay, we're gonna actually. Well, did you want to say any words about that track? Like what?
Basically, it's just another one of my tracks. We almost got with RCA Records during that time because I was the musical director for a woman named Sybil who had a bunch of hits out. Man, Don't Make Me Over, Walk On By. On Next Plateau Records.
Right.
And being her band, everybody checked us out. So we went in the studio and we knocked off these tracks, man. And it's just like they were all over us. But then
You know how it goes.
So,
yeah.
Our management wouldn't connect with their management. They wanted to buy them out. And it was crazy, man. So it didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I
but,
feel
that's
okay.
Where these tracks came from.
Cool, man. All right. Well, now we're gonna go into another track though that we got. This is the original flip side to the original Black Sheep track. Now this is the original Black Sheep.
I wrote this song when I was 17, so.
I'm excited to hear this because this is the first.
He was
time.
Really in love back then.
Yeah, I was too. I actually wrote this song. I wrote the words when I was 17.
Yeah.
Never did anything with it. When we went to San Francisco, when I came back, is when I wrote the music for it.
Right. Okay, so here we go.
A couple years later.
What's the name of this song again?
Here and There.
Here and There.
Here and There. All right, here we go. WMFO Medford.
The things you do and why, and what
Wow. That's just
amazing.
I still
got the contract, man. Crazy, you know?
That's... But you just go with Phil Spector. You probably find that shot in the fucking head. Excuse my language.
Watch that, man. We're on the air now. Okay, it's all right. It's all good. Okay. That one was the original flip side to the original Black Sheep 45 that apparently there are a few test presses out there. We'll see if we can get one of those to play on the air. And all right, so, man, you guys were talking about being in the studio. You guys were saying actually you went in like late at night, right? Like
6 o'clock. We went in at midnight, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We recorded through the night because we didn't have no money.
Yeah.
Except there was those cheap hours, the midnight hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's when all the magic happens, though, bro.
Right, yeah, yeah, man, yeah.
You know what I mean? Still to this day, that's when all the magic happens, man.
Yep,
you know?
Yep. All right, man. Well, I want to play another track here. Do you want to say anything about this? Is that track 12 you wanted to...
What the heck? Oh, well, this is like... since we were so into the Funkadelic-type era and things, we just make up any kind of, you know, title and then just play some music with it. And
right.
Sometimes, you know, like Funkadelics, the words don't make any sense. Well, I always try to make sense with the words. I think this is the horny mix of the song called, what the heck's the name of it? Well, you'll hear it.
All right, cool. We'll just play this track now. This is another of the Black Sheep of the Family. Check it out.
Doobie!
Doobie! Everybody doobie. Wow, 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 wow. Put the doobie in the bowl. And if you can dig it, you can stand. We put the doobie in the bowl. Dig me, baby, you can take it somewhere. We put the doobie in the bowl. And if you don't like it, you better stay.
WMFO, we're back. So that one was
Doobie in the Funk. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's
Doobie
all right.
Doobie in your funk. Could you imagine Doobie in your funk?
All right, man. He was saying that one comes out about came out in like 77, you thought, yes. Around there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. This is great. All right. This show has been great. I want to thank you guys for coming
out.
Thank
you for having us, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So good. It's a pleasure.
What's up, Phil?
So and like I said earlier, they gave me some pictures of from them back in the day. So
back
I'll be
in the day, man. Back yeah. in the day buffet.
Yeah, post them up on the thing.
I will. I'll post
and don't
them.
Clown us either. Don't
Absolutely.
Do like,
no,
don't
man,
do like
no.
they did to Dr. Dre just because he was in some, you know, pretty no. boy band. And this is what's you should see me now, trust me. But back then that was the thing. We were rock and roll stars, kid.
Yeah,
we had the lifestyle and everything, trust me.
No, man, I don't I have respect for the music back in the day, trust me. You know,
West that, Side
West Medford, right?
That's right.
All right, so we're going to play another track right now. We're getting towards the end of the show, but I think we can fit in maybe two more tracks before we got to go. So I'm
This
gonna...
is the future, y'all. This is what we're doing now.
Yeah, so this is a track that actually, Chip, you produced this, right?
If you're playing the one I did.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
I actually
yeah.
wrote it and played all the parts.
Okay, cool. So
And I got a girl. This is a group from that I was producing. Free girl group, one that goes is from West Medford, actually.
Right, okay.
And they'll call Lyric.
Okay, cool. So we're going to start off with that, and then we're going to close out the show with a track from
my new album
yeah.
that's coming
and
out.
This track that I did here, this is back about 6 years ago, so.
Cool, cool. Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna play this song of Chip's Lyric right here, and then we'll close out the show with Sparrow's track. So check it out. This is WMFO Medford. Yeah.
Don't really wanna give up. quest for stress or looking to be depressed. Instead of living up, I don't wanna be giving up.
WMFO, all right, we're back.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out to the people that just sang that song.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was
man.
A group lyric. That was Chris and Carney Kerbin and Lori Pina, my girl Lori Pina from West Memphis, lacing up that rap on the track.
All right? Nice, nice. Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, so we're about ready to get out of here. So I just want to say goodbye and thank you. Thanks again to you both.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. So if you want to say any, call out anyone or anything.
West Side, this is a cut. Off of Uncle Buha's crew, that's who I'm known as now, Billy Sparrow, Uncle Buha's crew. This is a compilation of different artists that work with my record company, Ransom Records. And this particular song is called Don't Do the Crime If You Can't Do the Time by the Big Game Hunters.
And this is Chip Allen closing out. Thanks for listening.
All right.
We out.
Crowded House Productions, baby.
Yeah, check it out.
Fuming, mama was flying. I made it too young to be so funny, so I started to laugh. everything was the night. The last song I heard was a gunshot blast. Don't be surprised. You can't be the time. Don't be the grind. You can't be the time. Kick it, fellas.
Don't do the crime. You can't do the time. Don't do the crime.